Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. Also, Stitcher, Apple, Google, Spotify, Deezer, TuneIn, Radio Public, wherever you listen to podcasts. It's the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. My real last name is White, and my guest always finds it hilarious that I'm wearing all black. That is Jill Love.
Hi. I just think it's a cosmic joke that every time I see you black, wearing black, and you're Mark White. So
well, the first time you saw me, I was in red.
That's right.
Then I'm always in black. And then
what's going to be next?
Well, maybe I'll wear white just for you.
Just for me.
You want to see me?
I'm wearing white today, so maybe we should swap up clothes.
Yeah, we'll
by the end of
you're no stranger to being naked, so we'll just change on the air, and we'll do all that. Maybe we'll work in a protest. We'll figure it out.
Sure.
That is Jill Love of the Jill Love Revolution.
Greetings, North America, because everybody says America, but this is North America. So I don't know how far we reach, but I'm welcoming
you all. We reach worldwide. We reach worldwide.
People listening in
England, we're doing very well.
Spain, too.
Romania, we're all sorts of places.
In Spain, hola, amigos.
Spain, hola, amigos. And Jill, we also have... It's funny because I was on last week. We had dating coach Marnie the Wing Girl on, and I told her. I said, and we had two of my two people that I know, and I told her how I wanted to meet really extraordinary women, and I want to date really extraordinary women. And I actually met the two of you very recently. I met you a month ago at Amazon Eve's movie premiere, and we can't get enough of each other. I met this lady. At my birthday roast, my birthday was November 4th. Turns out her birthday is November 3rd.
It is.
And apparently there's something cosmic in there. And this is, it's hard to describe you because you're a filmmaker, you're an actress, you're a model, you're an artifice, you're an artist.
I know, you know, sometimes I don't even know who I am, but, you know, I'm just channeling this divine creativity and force through me. You know, I'm just a vessel, a channel just to create and manifest and woman fest.
Yes.
No manifest anymore. Woman fest.
Woman fest.
Yeah, girl.
I'm a woman fester.
We are at the Ruby. You put the hyphen in hyphenate. And so did this woman. She's a spiritualist. She's a psychic. She is a tarot card reader. She is a witch. She's a comedian, actress. I've done some modeling, I would imagine, too.
Yeah, I make jewelry.
You make jewelry? Mm-hmm. I mean,
I have a podcast.
You have your podcast host. I was going to mention that. That's Renee Watts.
Yeah.
I was at my birthday roast on November 4th. Her birthday is November 3rd.
Yep.
Wow.
And she was hosting the show.
March 4th.
What's that?
I'm March 4th.
You're March
4th.
I'm a Pisces, March 4th.
We've got a lot of connectivity happening.
Right.
I know.
So after my show, they had another show. You were hosting the other show. And we just hit it off with our mutual weirdness. And
so you're like I just showed up. I didn't know what was happening before my thing. Mm-hmm. And it was like the goth comedian. And I think I just came up to you and I was like, I'm the witch comedian.
Yes.
How
did we not meet before?
yeah.
But we've met. And there's a lot to get into with the two of you. I have to do my sponsors really quick.
Do it.
Because we got a lot to talk about. Audible. I love audiobooks. You're on the road, I'm on the road. Listen to audiobooks. I'm going to San Diego and Vegas this weekend. Audible, actually, I just saw today, has an exclusive. Mel B from the Spice Girls just came out with her autobiography. The audiobook is exclusive on Audible. You can get that. You get Stephen King books. I'm sure there's books on witchcraft, astrology, art, activism, whatever you want. But not only that. They used to have a special. You get a book and a 30-day trial. If you go to audibletrial.com/DMS for the Dark Mark Show, DMS, you get a book, you get a 30-day free trial, and you get two Audible originals.
Wow. You sold me a Scary Spice autobiography.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard my gasp, but that was very exciting.
No, she talks about Eddie Murphy. She talks about all of it. But not only would you get Scary Spice's autobiography, you get two of six Audible originals. And you can get Patti Smith has a spoken word performance in New York. That you can get that. Billy Crystal has a play that he put on with Kevin Klein and Annette Bening. You can get that. Stephen Fry, the wonderful English comedian, has a whole Audible original about scandals in the Victorian age. Dan, the guy Parks and Recreation, Dan Hufferman, I believe.
Sure.
The guy who's on Parks and Recreation, the mustache guy.
This is quite the Pandora's box of options of things
right.
you can
he
listen to.
He does a whole cookbook about Mark Twain.
Ooh.
You can get any two of those six Audible originals, a book, and a 30-day free trial to Audible. Audible trial. I always do that. Audibletrial.com/DMS.
Wow.
Get it all.
You know, I must say I have an account with Audible. I used to drive between San Francisco and LA all the time. So I got these amazing audiobooks, like how to learn to be yourself, like Joe Dispenza.
Yeah.
How to unlearn everything you have learned in your life and right. just become your real you.
Right.
So I had to listen to that several times because it takes time, you know.
Well, there's a lot to you. There's a lot to you, as we'll learn. Also, our other sponsor, and you enjoyed the sponsor, about a month ago when you were on the show with our friends Amazon Eve and Joy Villa,
mm-hmm.
Doomy's Home Cooking. The best vegan food you ever had.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Now, you're not vegan. Are you vegan?
I was for 8 years. I'm a vegetarian now.
Okay. Well, then you would love it. And I'm not a vegan at all. Wait till you hear what they have. First off, they have a regular restaurant, Philly cheesesteaks, Big Macs, shrimp po' boys. That's on the regular menu. We went to the next Mex. I had chicken flautas, the biggest flautas I ever had. They were delicious. What did you have?
You mean the Mexican one, right?
Yes.
The vegan one.
We
so
split
we
nachos.
Had these amazing potatoes and chiladas and stuff, you know. So
right.
hopefully you will take us back tonight because I'm getting hungry just to talk about it.
Okay, yeah, because
you know?
Well, we split nachos, and the nachos were voted one of the 10 best nachos in Los Angeles by the LA Weekly, the only one without meat. Now they have two locations in LA. 1253 Vine Street, Hollywood is where we went to.
Yeah.
1253 Vine Street. Now they're open in Culver City. 4140 City Terrace Drive in Culver City. And they also have a restaurant in Toronto, Canada.
Wow.
We have a lot of Canadian listeners. So if you're in LA, Hollywood and Culver City, Doomy's Home Cooking. Doomies Home Cooking. If you've ever been to the goth clubs like Das Bunker, they have Das Baker.
Okay.
Who bakes the vegan desserts.
Very cool.
It's a very cool place.
Very cool.
So I must say, because it's funny, today I shared on Facebook mm-hmm. that you cannot be 100% vegan if your lover is not.
I saw that.
You saw that. So why? It's funny you just mentioning that because
yes.
it's like we're so synchronized.
We're so synchronized.
This evening.
Jill and I.
Like all of us, you're sitting on number four and you're number three, so you're like...
I'm actually number two, but...
Mm-hmm.
Which
you're in between always.
I'm always in between. So you've noticed already, we've only known each other a month. Now, your love, why is that? Why can you only be vegan if your partner's vegan?
Well, you know, just think about it. You know, all the fluids, all the things you share with your lover, goes inside your body temple.
Because of oral sex and other things.
Yeah, like the sweat, saliva.
You'll be ingesting meat
you
products.
Know, the semen, whatever, you know. It's like, especially the semen, like you can taste the quality and of the food, the diet of the person.
That is so true.
Right?
Is it really?
So true.
Yeah. You can see the color, the texture, the flavor, if they have a good, balanced, healthy diet or not.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want that in your body if it's not aligned with who you are, you know? So be mindful who
right.
you
be
fuck.
Mindful of your semen, is what you're saying.
Of the one you put in your mouth and
yes.
your holes and everything.
So Phil Doomy.
Especially if you are vegan.
Do
Phil
a vegan
Doomy,
screening
who owns the restaurant.
For every blowjob.
There you go.
I'm sorry, what
an
was
interview.
That? I only heard
that
blowjob.
That should be on the interview on the first date.
He just heard blowjob.
Yeah, what did you say?
I just said blowjob and that was it.
Oh, okay, good.
I just started it out.
I was going to say Phil, who owns and cooks at Phil Doomy's Home Cooking, is not vegan, but his wife is vegan.
Aww.
Or you're saying she's not really vegan because she tastes the semen.
She said that?
Well,
no,
that's what you're saying. But I mean, that just depends on how crazy you want to get about it, though. And I think that there are
vegans.
Well,
how crazy should we get, Renee?
I mean, it's That depends on each individual vegan. Mm-hmm. But there are serious levels of crazy when it comes to the vegan community.
You know? Yeah, especially with honey. You know, I love honey in my tea, but it's not vegan because the bees make it and stuff like that. You know, it's a little extreme.
I wish, by the way, my co-host Hannah, everybody's favorite heavy metal vegan DJ, is not here today. I wish she was. She would be all over this conversation. And she would settle the argument, is honey vegan or not? Because it seems to be a point of contention.
There's no settling that argument.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's like, is Depeche Mode goth? There's no answer. So anyway, Jill Love, let's get to the real conversation.
Because we're getting into human waste.
Right. I love to talk semen all day, but
we can talk about golden poop too.
Right.
You know?
Well, no, it's not golden poop. You are an artivist.
I am.
I was looking at your YouTube.
Should I explain what's an artivist?
Please explain
a new concept that not many people know about it. So it's the combination between an artist and activist.
Mm-hmm.
Artivist. So it's a new word that I'm actually promoting around the world, and I love it.
And ART is all capital letters.
Is that the proper way to
type it out?
Sure, if you want to.
The art is really gets the emphasis.
Always. It's like Earth, you know, without art,
mm-hmm.
it's not Earth, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The word art is in Earth.
Right. Oh, so, that's right.
Yeah, think about it.
See, I never thought about it before.
She's like, do it.
She's blowing my mind.
Try. Yeah,
Oh my goodness! Do I have to? Yes, I do. Yeah,
you're doing it.
No, but you've done a couple things lately since you've been on the show, which was like just a month ago.
Yeah,
the Artivist. Now, you mm-hmm. were going to do this on Halloween, but you did not. You did it at a later date, or
no? I did it on Halloween.
Oh, you did it on Halloween.
I was going to do it the week before, but you know the stars were not aligned, the planets were not aligned. It wasn't meant to be. I was ready to go and do it that day. Guess what? Somebody mentioned that they were having the music awards. So everything was closed off on, you know, the fences and stuff, like on Walk of Fame, you know, where the Trump star is. So I went personally to take a photo and see if it was available.
Right.
So it was all fenced out.
Right. Well, here's what
And the joke was that he knew I was coming. So he set it all up just to block me off.
If only he was that sharp. Here's what you did. You put a toilet on Donald Trump's star, sat on it.
Golden toilet.
The golden toilet on his star, and you put your panties down and pretended like you were taking a golden shower on Donald Trump's star.
That's what I was doing. I was taking a golden shower, but people were thinking I was taking golden poops. But whatever, it's up to the audience to think what they want.
That's the wrong interpretation then.
No, because it's art. So it's how you perceive it. It's your business. It's me. I'm just showing up, doing my thing. And whatever you perceive or think of it is yours. It's not me. So
And you had told me that you found the toilet in the street.
Yeah, so I'm going to explain what happened. I was just walking to my neighbors, you know, and I was walking on Hollywood Boulevard on the Walk of Fame, and I saw the star. And I was thinking of all the people who have done things to it, you know, like putting a little fence, like a little wall, and then another one.
Took a sledgehammer to it.
Yeah, then the Russian guards, which was genius, having two Russian guards, you know, guarding.
Oh, I didn't see that. That was cool. That was really cool.
Yeah. So people are really creative about it. And I thought, what can I do that hasn't been done before?
Right.
So, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put a golden toilet and just with reading the Time magazine, blah, 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 dressed up like Oscars ceremony, you know, and stuff like that. And then everything just came together. Like the day after I found the toilet, I was driving by. I found this perfect toilet on the sidewalk. You know,
and how many times are you driving by, you see the toilet?
I see toilets all the time.
Oh, do you really? Okay.
Yeah, like people just dump all these.
So you live in Hollywood. I live in the valley. We don't have
Well, in Hollywood, we have it all there on the street. Yeah, so. Yes. So everything just came together. People were sending me spray paints, the Time magazine from Amazon, mm-hmm. because I wanted the specific Time magazine, which is the man of the year.
Right.
You know, and the other one that Trump is looking, this little girl that is crying, you know.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to America. Right. You know, and the little girl, the,
right.
the Latino girl crying, and he's looking down crisis, and yeah. like, I don't care, you know, stuff like that. So.
Right.
So I got everything I needed to do this. And then that day it was fenced out so I couldn't do it. So then I waited for Halloween because it was the perfect day to do it.
Yeah.
So it was even better. It grew better, bigger, and more expectations. So it was perfect. So
now what was the reaction when people walk by and you're sitting on the toilet?
You know, I always have all kinds of reactions, but always positive.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's how I see, perceive reality as mm-hmm. positive.
Right.
Even if it's not so good, it's positive. All reactions are good,
right.
especially for an artist. So I had like all good minus a few Trump supporters, but
right.
they said, how are you there to make fun of the president of the United States, blah, 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 blah. But you look so cute, by the way.
Yeah.
So
oh, wait,
we
so you're getting
go.
Hit on by the Trump supporters?
Yeah, because I was having this golden dress, beautiful, that I wore
you'll
2 days before at the Peace Awards.
I've never seen such a piece of art on a squatting on the toilet, I swear. I got to tell you, you look magnificent.
But yeah.
Yeah, Trump supporters were hitting on her.
That makes so much sense. Never mind that you're an intelligent woman who's making a political statement. You look so cute.
And, you know, I use it and abuse it just to get the message across. So it works.
Now, why a golden toilet?
Because he has a golden
yeah.
throne.
Oh, is that
you
what
haven't
okay.
seen it? Like a real toilet made of gold.
Oh, does
in
he?
In his Trump Tower, in, you know.
I don't
you
follow
haven't
Trump
seen
that closely, to be honest with you.
I thought that they just told you that when you were born. By the way,
yeah, no,
you
they,
should
yeah,
know.
My parents did not give me the 411 on Trump when I was born.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
And, you know, because the shithole, because he's always talking, you know, like about this Latin countries as shithole. So the real shithole is right there.
So you know? Weren't, so when people interpret you doing a number two, it was a shithole. You were.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
You're just being nice that you gave him a golden shower because that's what he likes.
Exactly. That's what Stormy Daniels said, right? So
now I didn't see this get a lot of attention.
Well, I didn't want to go too big because I didn't want people to know who I was in that
yeah.
moment. I just wanted to do it so I feel good about it. But I didn't
yeah.
want to go too mainstream because I got really nasty reactions. So imagine if you go bigger, you get like multiplied. So I don't
right.
really want that in my life right now. But by the time I left, TMZ made it to the crime scene.
Oh, it's about time.
So they just got to see the golden toilet.
Right.
Which was vandalized. People painted graffitis and they broke it and stuff.
Oh, you just left it there and they were
yeah,
just...
I just left it there.
And they and it was and it was
vandalized. You know, which is...
That's crazy.
Well, it's Hollywood, so, you know.
You can't leave a toilet on the street without it getting graffitied and vandalized. And...
Yeah, but TMZ went and, you know, took photos, and we have an article. It doesn't
right.
mention my name, which I don't care, and, you know, so...
Right. And then the latest thing you did, you drew your own blood for the people of Yemen.
Yes. I always use what's available. You know,
and you always have blood.
Blood, poop, whatever you have in that moment, you know.
Right.
And I have to be very creative and effective. I
mm-hmm.
don't have that many resources, but I have lots of creativity.
Right.
So I have to do things nobody has done before.
Mm-hmm.
Do it like with all the passion and power it requires.
Right.
So I thought I'm just going to make the sign to stop the war on Yemen with my own blood.
Right.
You know, so I made a video extracting with Shireen. You
right.
know, like, I was born in Spain, so some words.
Syringe.
Syringe.
I like the way you say it, syringe.
Syringe.
I have put a syringe with the blood. No,
so,
syringe.
Yeah, so people thought I was shooting heroin or something, but I was extracting blood. And
right.
then, you know, I painted with my fingers.
Right. I was shooting heroin while I was watching it, but that's just me.
Oh, really? Just you?
Yeah, that's just me. I do that when I watch
Maybe that's why they call you Mark White.
Yes. Yes, kind of, Anyway, no, but you were the war in Yemen hasn't got a lot of mainstream attention.
Exactly, exactly, because, you know, Saudi Arabia is one of the U.S. allies, and it's like we depend on them for gas and gas prices and stuff. So we're Saudi Arabia's
bitch. We're really getting a break on that.
Yeah, but, you know, millions of innocent Yemeni brothers and sisters, they're dying of starvation. So there is this inflicted famine.
Yeah, that was sarcasm. We're not getting shit from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, because it's easier to starve people to death than throwing them bombs.
Right.
So that's what they're doing. So they can kill millions of people just by starving them mm-hmm. to death. So we have to raise awareness about that because it can happen to us.
And so you wrote...
We never expect that, but until it happens.
So you wrote a sign in blood.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, and then I put that sign on auction.
Right.
You know, I started with $500, and then a man from Saudi Arabia offered me $1,000 to buy that sign.
That's ironic, isn't it?
I know. It is so surreal.
Did you take it?
Life is so surreal. Like, I'm waiting for somebody else to offer me a little bit more. Otherwise, I'll just send it to Saudi Arabia, you know, $1,000. And then I want to donate that money to a nonprofit
of my choice
that helps children in Yemen. You know, if you see photos of Yemeni children.
It's awful.
Heartbreaking. Like, they're in bones, crying. They look like old people and they're like children. You know, it's horrible what's going on, and people must know.
Yeah. So the those are the two latest artivist things. Now, why did you come up with that concept to, I mean, obviously they're, you know, it's, why blood?
Why blood? Because we all have the same color of blood.
So
you know,
you
that's what makes us
a point that everybody
human,
has the same blood.
You know, and it doesn't matter if you were from Yemen, Muslim, Jewish, Catholic, whatever, you all have red blood in your veins.
Yes.
That's what really connects us as humans.
Right.
So that's what I'm using, you know, because people see Yemeni people as like you know, another, like people from another planet and stuff like that, or Palestinians or Armenians or whatever, you know, we're all connected, we're all one consciousness.
Even witches.
Especially witches.
I love witches.
Well, we have one right here.
Yeah. Have you seen Suspiria?
What?
You have to see that movie.
Suspiria.
It's about witches.
Wow.
I want to see it again, so let's go together because it's so amazing.
I'm like, yes.
About witches.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to see it, but, I mean, you know the reality of witches.
I do know the reality of witches.
So you grew up in Arizona, is that correct?
I grew up in Phoenix, yeah.
Okay.
Suburbs.
Yeah, that's what I said. How does a suburban kid, Renee Watt, turn into this glorious, wonderful weirdo?
Aw. You mean how did... I mean, that's such a loaded question. I can take that in so many
directions.
I'm full of them.
Yes.
I mean, do you want
to... When did you become intrigued by the dark side? Let's start there.
Okay. Well, I was raised Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'll do it.
I was very into, like, my religious...
You were raised Catholic,
too. Me, too.
I was very into my religious education classes, and I was, like, in the church plays and everything. And then I, you know, started to hit, like, you know, around 11, 12, and why can't women be priests? And, oh, well, women can't be priests in the Catholic Church because they can't connect with God in the way that men can.
Right.
And so that turned me off to the Catholic Church. But then I remember it very vividly, but I went into a used bookstore just with one of, like, the neighborhood girlfriends that I had at the time.
Right.
And we wandered into the New Age section, and I picked up a book, and it was Wicca, A Guide for the Solitary Practitioner by Scott Cunningham.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it, and I was just like, oh, my God, like, I can be a woman, and I can have power, and I don't have to play by the rules that I've been, told that I have to play by.
Okay, so... Feminism brought you to being Wiccan.
Yeah, and it's just a very. I mean, I'm not Wiccan now. I'm a witch.
You're a witch. Okay, so what's the difference?
Well, in Wicca, it's a religion, and there are kind of like principles, and there's like, you know, you worship a goddess and a god. And with witchcraft is like kind of the magical work that you do. Mm-hmm. So a witch is just kind of like you do what you want to do.
Right.
You don't, you know, a lot of the principles of witchcraft are taken from the Wiccan religion, but it's as a witch, as opposed to a Wiccan, I don't have to follow Wiccan guidelines. I can take from everywhere.
So once again, so Wicca was limiting to you.
Yeah, it was limiting to me. So, it was a good platform to learn from, though.
Right. So yeah. When did you become a full-blown witch?
When
did you get your pointy hat?
I think I was born a witch. Yeah. But I very much identified as a witch when I was like 12, 13. I like formed a coven at my 13th birthday.
Oh, that's great.
My junior high friends.
Jeez,
But I stopped. I stopped in high school because right. I was punk rock and punk, you know, that was just more important. And most of my punk rock friends were atheists. So, right. like, I just gave it up. But then
How do you give up a coven?
Well, I mean, the coven kind of fell apart. It's a bunch of 13-year-olds running around playing right. Letters of Feather, Civet Support. You know, it wasn't that yeah. serious. But
I mean, Charmed was on TV.
I never watched Charmed.
You never watched The Craft, The Charmed?
Oh, I watched The Craft.
Oh, okay.
For sure I watched yeah. The Craft, okay. But not Charmed. But then, so like 2.5 years ago, I got divorced. And
oh, the real evil marriage.
The evil marriage. And I was like, I need something. And I picked up witchcraft again, and I was just like, like, it just came in really strong.
I can imagine. Wow.
Yeah.
So you freed yourself.
I freed myself.
And then you became a witch. But had you been, because you're a psychic, you're a tarot reader, yeah. you're a spiritualist. Were you doing all of that while you were married or just the last couple of years?
No. I mean, tarot was always a part of my life since I was 10. And it's always just come in and out. But I didn't connect with it in the way that I have now since I, you know, became single. And I think it was just that relationship was taking up a lot of my mind space and a lot of my energy. And so I was restricting myself in the things that I would think about because I was so worried about, you know, taking care of him and, you know, keeping the relationship together or you know, I carried a lot of weight in that relationship.
Right.
And once he was gone, I had all of this free space that I got to explore and play with.
Now, have you done spells on him? Because I know some people that really have fucked their exes.
I have banished him.
What does that mean?
It means leave me alone. It's okay. Just kind of like severing ties. I don't ever try to inflict harm.
Okay.
But if I think that I need to have someone out of my life, I'll kind of visualize them going on their own way, leaving me alone, getting out of my space. But when you banish people, especially people that you have a connection with, there is a period of time where they kind of push back and they act out and because they feel you leaving them.
Right.
And so when you banish someone, sometimes there's a little bit of backlash before they actually leave.
But you could say the same thing about a regular divorce, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's adding a magical principle to something that I guess just kind of, you know.
Right. Okay, I don't know. I don't know these things. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, of course.
So my ex-girlfriend, like, she put like irritable bowel spells on her exes and like impotency spells. Really fucked them up.
Did you say bowels?
Yeah, irritable bowel. Yeah.
So like you have an upset stomach.
Wow. Yeah, she put some weird spells. I never heard of these spells.
That's twisted.
Yeah, she.
Yeah.
She told me, they kind of deserved it, but you know.
See, when I think that someone needs to learn a lesson, I don't ever get specific about what I want to happen to them because I don't feel like it's my job to decide that.
Right.
But I will call out to the universe and be like, hey, this person's an asshole. Please bury them in their own karma. Or mm-hmm. like, please show them, like, you know, show them what it is about them that is our negative traits or that makes them, you know.
Right. You know, there is a rule I was studying Wiccan.
Yeah.
I was a Wiccan before a witch, too.
Nice.
So there is a rule. Yeah, I've been always a witch.
Now you tell me. I'm in here. I'm in the studio with two witches.
We were talking about astrology, and I was like, oh, like we were looking at her amethyst bracelet, and like I thought that was just obvious.
All free, independent, strong, liberated, wise women are witches. So it's not You know, it's a thing.
I must
so there
witches,
is a rule in the Wiccan, a rule of three.
Right.
So everything you do good or bad, it comes back at you threefold, times more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you wish somebody harm or something like that, it comes back at you.
Yeah.
So it's the karma thing, the karma law, just law of attraction.
Okay. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, wow. So maybe a new coven starting here. I don't know what's going on. This is crazy.
Let's do it.
I didn't know. But yeah, so, but and about that's about the time you moved to LA, was it not? Or?
No, I've been in LA for a year. I was in Phoenix for like the first year and a half or so of being single, and then I went nomadic for 6 months.
And is that when you started doing comedy?
No, I started doing comedy, right when we broke up, because it was one of the things he didn't think I could do.
Right.
And I'd wanted to since I was 18, and I was just. Yeah, I started comedy.
Okay.
I went for it. I was like, comedy and witchcraft, like, let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, it's like chocolate and peanut butter. It goes great together.
I think so.
I would think so. And shit, I mean, have you ever, like, done a spell, like, on an audience to make sure they laughed? If you have a showcase, you're going to do that. If you have, like, a big showcase, like, to get a Netflix special or something, would you do that?
I wouldn't. I mean, yeah, I would. Yeah, I totally would. I mean, I've done performance related spell work, and I've done spell work to attract opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done one specifically like, oh, make this audience laugh, because I feel like I just have to. I'd rather do a spell to make sure that I have quality work coming in, and that I've got creativity flowing through me, and that I'm applying creativity in a way that's cohesive.
Okay.
So any spell work that I do around performance is usually about improving myself as a performer, and then that'll be reflected in the audience.
Okay. Yeah, I was talking about that also. I had a big showcase, and I did some meditation. I did the Superman pose and didn't do so well.
No?
No, because I should have just gone there and just winged it instead of I was too much in my head.
You got in your head.
I got in my head, so
yeah.
I could have used a spell that night. But what are you gonna do? But I didn't know you guys had such a connection. It seems to happen.
We're actually communicating telepathically right now.
Really? So. What are you saying about me?
Just, you know, talking about...
It's not always about you, Mark.
Right.
but in this case, it is, isn't it?
It is the Dark Mark show.
That's right.
Okay. You're not... I'm trying to catch the telepathic vibes. No, but so, as you said, Jill, you were in Spain. You were born in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Well, I'm born in Barcelona, which we're trying to be independent from Spain. So it's Catalonia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and how did you become Jill Love, the artivist? What was your first art inspired?
So that was in 2012. My mom passed away of cancer, so I had to go back to Spain, back to Barcelona. And then my green card expired. I couldn't come back.
Right.
So I had to spend more time.
Were you acting and modeling here in Hollywood? Is that what was going on?
Well, I was doing a little bit of everything here, you know.
Yeah.
But when I went back to Spain, 2012 was the end of the world, right?
Yeah.
The end of the Mayan calendar. Everybody was thinking, oh, my God, the world is ending.
Right.
Doomsday, blah, 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 blah. So
did you guys believe that?
Yeah, it was actually the end of the world for me.
Really?
My mom, which is the main figure in my life, the anchor, the most grounding persona, the force in my life, was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the end of the world for me, but the beginning of a new one.
Okay.
So then I had this divine call, and I was in one of the riots in Madrid, you know,
mm-hmm.
Protesters protesting against the government, blah, 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 blah. So I had this divine call to do something to bring peace and harmony and love into that moment of chaos and ugliness and violence. So I thought, I'm just going to get naked and just pray to the goddess. You know, I'm a priestess of Isis, I must say.
Right.
Isis the goddess.
Yes. Not ISIS, the terrorist group.
No, that's a thing I want to talk about in another in another opportunity because it's so deep and yes. complex. But I was calling the priestess energy into me to bring this moment of peace and mm-hmm. beauty. And I was praying on my knees. I was naked. And cameras from all over the world, they captured that moment. And it was in all covers of right. newspaper and the news. I was like, life going on. Everybody knew about me because that moment.
Yeah.
So it was the beginning, the birth of my revolution.
Well, I was gonna mention this, and a lot of your protesting involves nudity.
Yeah, because it's the purest form of protest. Yeah. You know, and that's what makes you vulnerable, but at the same time makes you stronger. So okay. it's removing the layers of separation between humans. You okay. Because all these, they're like layers of the onion, but then the heart is what's left.
Right.
So that's what makes you more approachable, more connected right. to other humans. So I have another kind of sense of nudity than you guys here in the United States because it's such a big deal. Such a taboo nudity.
No, it's and... not. Look, let's all take off our clothes.
I
mean,
it's a podcast. Nobody's going to see it, so.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
No, but you're obviously beautiful and you have a beautiful body.
But I take good care of my body.
Yes,
yeah,
you do. Yes, you do.
I'm happy.
Trust me. I was,
my body
I was researching you all week and I saw quite a bit of your body. But I mean, when I say that you've been nude, I mean that first protest. I'm not sure, but you protested the oil pipeline, and you had oil all over your mm-hmm. nude body. You had there was a protest,
which it was chocolate, so it looked like
chocolate?
Oil, but smelled and tasted like chocolate. So mm-hmm. people were around me, and they were really
were they grossed out,
so they were really like. Enjoying the aroma of chocolate on my body, you know.
Oh, okay.
So it was sexy.
Real?
Yeah, and then I had another one with blood, which is, you right. know, corn syrup, food coloring, and a little cacao powder. So it's yummy things that you can lick and eat. And
off your naked body.
Yeah, and it's safe.
Yeah,
you know?
So were people licking it off your naked body? Or?
Were you allowed? No, I don't allow that to happen. Okay. In front of the camera.
Theoretically, they could, but no.
They could, but, you know.
So you're protesting bullfighting. You're protesting the oil, the chocolate. Say chocolate again.
Chocolate.
I love it. Chocolate.
It's good.
Chocolate.
Chocolate. The chocolate protest was for to protest the pipeline.
Yeah, like, and I had angel wings, which were stained in black, and I just do like a huge, dramatic, epic play theater, street theater. That's how we do it in Spain and
right.
Europe. You know, it's like we're going to the streets to do performance, art, music, dance. You mm-hmm. know, we're really like on the streets all the time. So right. I just miss this in here in this country. So I want to invite everybody to express themselves on the street the way they want.
Yes. But the pipeline went through anyway and it's been a fucking disaster.
Which one?
The pipe?
No, it's not. It wasn't approved.
The one through the reservation.
No, it didn't go through. No, it wasn't approved.
Oh, yeah, it was. It
didn't go through.
No, Trump overruled it.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was overruled.
It was overruled. No, Obama stopped it.
The
North Dakota
Access Pipeline you're
right.
talking about.
Obama stopped. Yeah,
I did something for the other pipeline.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
KXL pipeline.
Oh, so that
which
one.
Which Obama they, like,
so you did stop
canceled.
That.
Okay. Yeah. We stopped that one.
Right. Because I know Trump overruled the North Dakota pipeline, and then that's been a fucking disaster. It's been leaking. It's been awful.
Yeah. And, you know, it's on burials, Native American sites, which
yeah,
is like.
That's another thing.
Like, how can
and,
you.
And you know
that,
not
like,
to fuck with that.
Me? Not to fuck with nature? What are you talking
about? With Native American burial sites.
Yeah,
oh.
It's like Poltergeist. Yeah. You know, like the movie Poltergeist?
I'm familiar.
Yeah, so it's
no,
like,
but I mean, as a spiritualist, you're like, no, that don't... Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, we need to give more, like, disrespect to those people and... No.
Yeah, I guess if it... If you really go to it, we've desecrated the whole country's their land, and we've desecrated it all. So
yeah,
but you know, capitalism, it's like this big monster that the black big snake that is just ferocious and hungry and taking over the whole thing, and just, you know, capitalism is what's destroying the world. You know,
yeah.
And So profit, market, money, it's above everyone and everything. So, you know, that's how we have what we have.
Yeah. And what would you like to see?
About what?
About everything.
About everything?
If we kick Trump out, we put you in office, what would you do?
So I just want everybody to be more connected into their hearts because we're too mental. We're too separated, divided, you know, and just hearts is like what really connects us. So there's a new economy, which is the economy of love, you know, and sharing. And so here it's a little too individualistic, separated, divided, and too mental. So
The love economy, do you think that's growing? Do you think it's
yeah, because I see it every day. We're awakening. It's the new golden age of humanity. So I see it every day. Like, people are awakening. Like, I go in the streets, people are looking at me. I'm looking at them like, we recognize each other. Like, we are part of the same.
Yeah, but you're naked, covered in blood on the street. That's why they're looking at you.
Well, they look at me for many reasons, you know, because I'm tall, whatever, you know. But, like, deep spiritually, we're recognizing each other as different fragments of the same, you know, like, I always say that we are the brain's God. We're like all neurons.
Mm-hmm.
We're the brain cells of God's brain.
Right.
So we're swimming in this pool of consciousness.
Right.
And we're all fish and we're just like interacting with each other, but with this one thing. You know,
you guys were communicating telepathically. I still want to know what you guys were talking about. Telepathically.
We were talking about how much we like your jacket.
Oh, thank
you. It's a nice jacket.
Is that right?
Well, I was getting more deeper in spiritually, but, you know, she just snapped out
earlier. I think he was talking about earlier when we were making the joke about how we were telepathically.
Yeah, you were telepathically, yes.
Yeah.
What you guys were talking about.
Right.
But, yeah. Well, because you were making astrological signs. But not only that, I was looking at your podcast, your website, and everything. You're very into the spiritual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were teaching classes on chakra and things like that.
Yeah, and I'll be teaching classes again probably next year.
Yeah. So, and this is all that's happened in the last couple of years.
I taught last year, or no, this year. I guess we're still in the year, the same year. I started teaching in, like, I think January, February of this year.
Yeah.
See, do you see how time's like, I'm so bad.
Well, I know, you got here in LA, and here you're already on the Dark Mark show. You made it.
Oh, is this how I know?
This is it.
When you
come into the Ruby Studio, and you're in, you're checking out my jacket, and you're here with Jill Love,
that
you
means
have made
you are
it.
Somebody.
Okay, good.
When you see it, the international audience you're going to get from this show,
great.
It's going to be people. Yeah, hopefully, I'll shout out to Yemen and everybody who's listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many Yemenis we have, but this has been great. So. I'm just I've got so many weird questions to ask you.
I love weird questions.
Okay, so you're psychic too.
Yes.
Now, how do you know?
How do I know that I'm psychic? Because I give readings and I will close my eyes and it's like I can see weird messages. Like, for example, a woman came in and got a reading, earlier this week, and she wanted to know why her friend was mad at her and whether or not they'd be able to reconcile. And I said, okay, what's your friend's name? And she told me, and I closed my eyes.
But you didn't know his friend's name.
Huh?
You didn't know.
I mean, come on, you know.
No, because I remember, like, remember the old shows where the guy's like, okay, it's a man, it's a woman, man, woman, it's your mother,
right.
It's your sister, it's your aunt, your uncle, I mean.
Well, my objective wasn't to guess her name.
Okay.
My objective was to open a channel to her.
Okay.
To enter into her, you know, her energy space. And so I asked what this woman's name was, and I closed my eyes, and I see I'll have, like, a vision, and I saw basically, like, a uterus that was black and staticky and unhealthy. And I was like, oh, your friend has hormonal issues.
Mm.
And she's like, yeah, oh, my God, yeah. And then I'll close my eyes again, and I'm like, oh, do you have a mirror that has, like, a silver mirror with roses around it that used to belong to your grandmother? And I get confirmation through my readings that what I'm telling them is true, that I am channeling something. I don't know exactly how it works or how I'm able to do it, but the confirmation that I get and the fact that I've been able to build a career around giving these readings and providing the right. services tells me that yes. And
I'm a natural born skeptic, so
that's fine. So, I love a good skeptic.
So don't go by me. And you know, the fact that you're able to pick up uteri, in a psychic reading is very impressive.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. And it's not like when you close your eyes and you imagine something. It's like I'm being shown something.
I must say,
yes.
You're a skeptic. Do you know why?
Why?
Because you are too much in your head.
Oh, am I?
You know, the gut feelings is the wisdom of the woman in the womb and everything.
That's, right.
All the psychic abilities come from the gut.
Yeah. Is that true?
Do you agree with that?
No, because I don't think we know where psychic ability comes from. So, no, I don't agree with that.
So what was the first time that you discovered you had psychic ability? What was the first time you're like, holy shit, I knew that was going to happen?
I mean, I feel like there were little things that happened throughout my entire life that, you know, things really kicked off for me when someone told me, like, oh, you're an empath. And then I researched mm-hmm. what an empath was. And then I started to research, how to develop psychically. And I was making progress based on what I was reading. But I mean, I've always done tarot readings and I've always had accurate readings. And I had a very specific feeling that I would marry someone who came from Europe, but that I wouldn't grow old with them. And my ex-husband is Swedish.
Ah.
And it was like if I pointed my body in the...
Those Europeans.
It was like if I pointed my body towards the east, I could feel that he was coming for me. And I mean, this is mm-hmm. something that I felt since I was a very young girl. But why would a young girl be thinking like, oh, I'm gonna meet someone from, I'm gonna meet someone from a strange land. That's pretty, common. But then like, oh, I'm not gonna grow old with him. Like, I'm gonna love him so much, but I'm not gonna grow old with him. Like, that's not a normal fantasy for a young girl to have. And it wasn't a fantasy. It was just a knowing.
It sounds like every Disney movie I've ever seen.
You're not gonna grow old with the person that you fall in love with?
I don't know. I've seen some weird, tragic Disney movies. I don't know. That is weird.
But the fact that it manifested too. Yeah.
That's crazy. How is the punk rock scene?
Woman manifested.
I wonder that. I do wonder that sometimes if I'm having prophecy or if I'm manifesting. But I think that in my own life, I wonder that. When I'm giving readings, I can't really manifest for someone else's life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But in my own life, I do wonder, am I manifesting or am I prophesizing? I don't know.
So, I mean, this is something that just came to you. It wasn't like you wanted to meet somebody from a far land and not
right.
go with them.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Although, I wouldn't mind that. That's not that bad.
I'm glad. I'm so glad I'm not growing old.
Was he like a black metal guy, or?
Oh, I don't want to talk about him. There's other stuff we can talk about.
Well, I was going to say, the punk rock scene in...
Oh, the punk rock scene in Phoenix?
In Phoenix, I was going to say.
Well, that's not how I met him. I met him senior year of high school.
Yeah, punk rock scene.
The punk rock scene in Phoenix. You know, it's been a while since I was actually a part of it, but it was great when I was a teenager. I feel like it saved me. You know, I was able to hang out with people who had political ideals that weren't just, I grew up in North Phoenix on the border of Glendale, and it's very conservative, very religious. And mm-hmm. I obviously was a witch. I gave up on the traditional religions very young. And yeah. So I was able to find people who thought similarly to how I felt. And I was able to get a community. You know, you're an outcast too.
Yeah.
So when you find the other outcasts, it's just kind of, it's a sanctuary. It was a small community. It's gotten larger.
Okay.
You know, we were all watching Clockwork Orange and tearing our fishnets and
say that's cool.
I was, listening to Bikini Kill and not shaving my legs, and there were the other punk rock boys, and we would rub each other's leg hair and see who had the thicker leg hair.
That's hot.
I'm glad you think so.
I do think so. That's cute. But it's just something I've never felt. Even in the goth community, I don't even feel a part of that. I've always felt like an outcast in a sea of outcasts.
You know, I did have a little bit of an outcast within the outcast community feeling myself. I couldn't, even though I felt like they were my people, I didn't feel like they were like I wasn't super close with a lot of them, but I did have the people that I really truly connected with.
Although people in the community accept me, and when I say that, they're like, "What are you crazy? You're always around. We're always, you're our friend," and so I don't know.
Maybe it's you're a Scorpio, so Scorpios are very selective about who they get close to.
I guess so.
I mean, it's
we're one day apart, so it's like looking in a mirror. I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're the same person.
Yes, we're the same person, but we're not this person.
That's what I was saying.
What's that?
You're awakening.
Here's our Pisces.
Am I awakening
we're
now?
All, is that yeah. what's happening?
No, I'm awakening now. It's about time I'm awakening now. But I was going to say to you, now, Sam, how much time do we have?
You're at 50 right now.
Okay, that's what I figured. You've done some interesting protests. Now, one of the protests you did, and I think this was in Hollywood, was you were protesting the war against Palestine.
Yeah, that's controversial, very controversial issue.
Well, I think it's controversial because, first off, you did get in a fight with a Transformer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, because I saw the video, but I didn't really catch it. You were just telling a Transformer to fuck off. I didn't really get the context.
Yeah, so, I was doing a memorial for all the children, Palestinian children, that were, blown up and killed and stuff, So Hollywood Walk of Fame is, it's like this playground that you just go and do what you want to do,
It's got a lot of people dressed up as superheroes.
Celebration of freedom of expression and speech, which is what I'm really passionate about. It so you can go and do anything you want.
People dancing.
Jesus preachers that are really not preaching love but hate, which is it's okay. Just go ahead, do your thing.
Right.
So I went down to the boulevard. I grabbed this piece of land, just to do my thing.
Right.
So we had this huge Transformer, saying, yes. "Hey, you're here in my spot," So it was like this. It's like a boulevard with prostitutes, that you cannot go in somebody's spot. So he was trying to kick me out, He was trying to kick me out. So I had to get
my fiery
goddess out and tell him off. And say, "Hey, this is my time. I'm doing something really, really important for humanity. And you are here just to get a few bucks, which is not compared on what I'm doing." Well, so
was the Transformer Jewish? Do you think that's what it was?
Why you say that?
Maybe because you were protesting against
No, he just wanted to make a few bucks.
Well, I mean,
I'm making a joke, obviously.
Yeah, that's not
really
a good
bad.
Joke.
Really bad.
So, long story short, yelled at him and just said,
"You're pretty brutal." Trust me, that it was better than the last Transformer movie I saw. It was very action packed.
Yeah, I can be very sweet, angelic, and nice and stuff. But if you get me the fire out, I'm just gonna fight for what I'm passionate about. So yes. That's
and your passion. Well, and here's the thing. Now, I have people that are friends that are sympathetic to the Israeli side and the Palestinian side. Mm-hmm. And I say to both of them that there's fault on both sides. And it's an impossible situation. Nobody will back down from anybody. And it's an atrocity on both sides.
Yeah, but in this case, I'm on the side of the weak, the silenced, the oppressed, which is the Palestinians. And, so Israel, they have huge support, and we send them billions of dollars in, armament and this and that. So Palestinians, they don't get anything. So I'm always on the side of the weak, the ones who cannot speak for themselves. So that's my job.
Well, let's just hope one day they'll get it together and they'll figure out how to live in peace.
That's the thing about religion. It divides, polarize people, and religion is
this is why is, yeah, this is why I don't
that's why I'm not
I don't practice
Catholic anymore, So I'm a witch. Well, yeah, I'm a priestess of Isis.
None of us are Catholic anymore. I love what you say.
Catholic.
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 It makes it sound better than it really is. Catholic. If your priest said Catholic all the time, maybe you would stay. I don't know.
If he said it like that and gave me the same rights he had, then maybe.
maybe.
And didn't, bash gay people
or
you know,
molest
have
little
problems.
Boys
yeah, yeah. I feel like there's stuff. A lot. There's you know.
Yeah.
More corrections that need to be had before I would sign back up.
I'm a Buddhist. I don't know, but it's just one of these things. So, but it's the thing is being a psychic, being a witch. I mean, I can't imagine. First off, people are just such a mystery to me.
Okay.
Especially women. Guys are a step above chimp. I can figure them out.
I have met some men that are hard to figure out, man.
Really?
Yeah. Cancer men? Crazy.
Tell me about them.
Oh, Gemini.
Gemini. Yeah. Yeah.
What was so hard to figure out?
Huh?
What was so hard to figure out?
Oh, I mean, it just, I don't know.
Here's the answer to everything you're pondering.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to fuck you. That's the answer.
I don't know. I feel like
that's a yes.
Okay, so that's always the answer. But I feel like there are other variables to it. Like they want to fuck me, but they're like terrified of me, or they're like,
oh, that's possible. Sure, I can see that. No, I would imagine you'd be very intimidating. Both of you are very intimidating for men to approach.
Well, we're gonna beat you up behind the building after we're done.
Oh, good. Well, that's good.
Is that gonna be my
awakening?
Well, you'll have to find out. We'll see.
Pull out the layers of separation, so we have to really like
you have
get
to
see
naked,
who you
yeah.
are.
You have to...
She's gonna strip you down, and I'm gonna pull back the layers of your skin,
yeah,
and then dig around and find your still beating heart, mm-hmm. and then feed it to you, and then we'll be married.
Ooh.
you realize that doesn't sound that bad to me. I've had worse dates.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a cool date to me. I'm just.
But. No, I would imagine both of you are
full moon is tomorrow.
It's
so
tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, the full moon is tomorrow. Now, what does that mean exactly?
I mean, it depends. It's all subject to interpretation.
Well, what is your interpretation?
I mean, okay, so it depends on what I need in my life at the moment. A full moon can be about abundance and about harvesting the things that you've worked for, but it can also be about releasing the things that no longer serve you.
Right.
So it really just depends on what you need in your life at that time.
Okay. Now, here's the thing about full moons. I have to ask both of you, since you're spiritual, you're both witches. Why is it that I am never more attractive than on a full moon? When I go out to clubs on a full moon, suddenly women dig me.
Well, I mean...
Am I a werewolf? What is going on?
You might be a werewolf.
Yeah?
You might.
I think it's your pheromones.
Should we do the silver bullet test?
Is it the pheromones? Is that what it is? Pheromones. On a full moon, is it because the full moon releases the pheromones? Is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, it's like your wild side is coming out, and you know, just yeah, we love that. Don't you think?
I mean, yeah, people love pheromones. I don't know. Okay, so the thing is,
I just noticed this a couple years ago. Like, I went out like 3 months in a row, and then like wait a second. Every time I'm out in a full moon, I have one of those nights where I'm just like.
Generally speaking, people feel more energized during a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
People, I mean, you know, you can talk to people that work in emergency rooms or police officers, and they'll say people act differently. People act up. We're always busy during a full moon.
Right.
If you look at the fact that the oceans, the tide is affected by the moon and where it's at, and the amount of water that we're it's 75% water that we are. Why wouldn't we be affected by the moon and the moon's placement? But if you want to look at, you know, what a full moon means, and you want to look at it from a witchy perspective, okay, like what sign is the moon in? What are the other planets doing? What cycle of the year are we in? You can get so complicated trying to.
Well, full moon on Thanksgiving. What's that gonna mean?
I mean, it's a good time to show gratitude.
Yeah.
I think it's a perfect time to show gratitude and maybe do a little bit of a manifestation ritual. This is what I'm happy for. This is what I want to bring more in. Or you can say, this is what I'm grateful for. This is what I want to let go of. And I'm going to move more towards the things that I'm grateful for and give less energy to the things that I feel like are holding me back.
And how do you do that? Is that like a meditation thing? Or you write things down? Or what do you?
You could do candle magic. You could set up a ritual.
Oh, I've got a story about that.
About candle magic?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You want to hear this?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. This was between full moons, so I was feeling pretty lonely.
Okay.
And my friend, who's a psychic, said, I will make you a love candle.
Yeah.
I'm going to put all these things, this candle, you let it burn for 5 days, and the love of your life is going to come into your life. So you got to write down everything you want in a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote down, you know, heartbeat, vagina, you know, is about it. And no, there's more
specific.
Support. Of course, of course. So I put like all these oils, spices.
Yeah.
Mrs. Dash. I don't know what he put it. He put a bunch of stuff in there, right?
Mm-hmm. In the candle.
In the candle. He's like, light up. When I lit it up, because the oils and everything, like literally it was like a huge poof flame. Like I was like, wow, some real
this
magic.
Strong,
going on
potent.
Here.
Where did Burn you get that candle?
I'll tell
Vampires here in Hollywood.
No, no, it was another store. It was a similar store to that.
Yeah, I know those candles.
Yeah, it was a similar store to that. So, I did. Yeah, I don't know if it was a bulk personally, so it wasn't Panpipes, but it was a different store. Burns for 1 day. Burns for 2 days. The third day, the candle flickers out. I said, what does that mean? Do I relight it? It's like, Mark, I hate to tell you, that means it's not going to happen.
Mm.
So I can't get help from the supernatural to get laid. That's basically my candle.
It's probably a timing thing.
It was a timing thing. It was a while ago.
You could try again.
Oh really? Okay, thanks. Yeah. Maybe I'll go to Pampa.
Especially tomorrow, you have another
go to the Crooked Tower.
Well, I'm having Thanksgiving dinner with my family. You know,
but late at night you can just put them to bed to sleep.
Yeah, put my parents to sleep. Put my parents to sleep because they'll be like,
tuck them in,
they'll be like,
give them a good night kiss on the forehead, and then just go and do your thing.
Because they were asking me, they're like, they're like, what are you doing tonight? I'm like, doing my show. They're like, who's on your show? I'm like, well, there's a girl who put a toilet on Donald Trump's star and a witch.
Yeah,
like, of course. So that's the way it is. So, Jill, where does the time go? There's so much more to talk about. Sammy's got to go.
We have to come back.
No, we have to come back. Well, first off, this is the second time you've been here. You see how fast it goes.
I
there's
know.
So, and both of you are just, you peel the layers of the onion, there's so many more layers. But Jill Love, you are the spearhead of the Jill Love Revolution. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the Jill Love Revolution, what you got going on, how people get a hold of you, how people see what you have to do.
So Jill Love Revolution is a social movement that we create artivism to raise awareness for human, animal, environmental rights.
Now, have you inspired other people to do things like you're doing?
Yeah, all over the world. People just copy me, and I'm happy to just be a force of inspiration.
Oh,
so,
before that, I kind of hate that. The festival. I forgot to ask you about the festival.
Oh, the festival, but I have to come back, you know, because... Like,
we just had a Jill Love Festival in San Francisco.
Yeah, and in the desert too, but you know. But I want to say about Jill Love Revolution, you can go to Instagram, J-I-L, only one L. Yeah. I don't need two, I need only one. On Facebook, I have like 300,000 followers all over the world.
Yes.
So you can find me all over social media and just say hi, you know, just write a message and say, hey, I was listening to the Mark White show.
Mark show, yes.
Yeah.
Because right, I always wear black.
Mm-hmm.
So Jill Love, just J-I-L, the other L begins love.
Yes.
L-O-V-E.
And revolution, which has another love in the revolution. So
yes, so J-I-L-L-O-V-E, revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope for good things for your revolution. I would love people to be laying naked in the street all over the world, making
changes. More than that. It's more than that, but you know.
I know it's more than that. I'm making a joke.
But it's really effective. So people pay attention when they see you naked and stuff like that. You know, people pay attention.
Well, trust me, I lay naked in the street the other day. Nobody gave a shit, but that's one of those things. It was in the Vons.
Unless you do it with me.
It was in the Vons parking lot in Woodland Hills. It doesn't really, nobody cares. But anyway, it's just what I do two, three times a week. On full moons.
Right.
But,
two or three times a week on a full moon,
yeah.
Which happens two or three times a week.
Sure. Renee, see, she caught that. She caught my celestial joke.
Mm-hmm.
Renee, how do people get a hold of you? Tell me what you got going on. And
you can come to the Crooked Path in Burbank if you want a reading. I also do phone readings.
Or a magic candle.
E-readings, huh?
Magic candle?
Yeah. Sal does the candles. I can give you advice on, you know, ritual or things like that. I've got my podcast, Witch Doctorate.
Yes.
WitchDoctorate.com, ReneeWattEntertainment.com,
mm-hmm.
on Instagram at Witch Doctorate or at Rainbow Glitter Star. And that's where I talk more about, like, you know, I'll tell you about comedy stuff that's going on or whatever, but
I can't believe you got Rainbow Glitter Star.
Right.
Of all the people, you got Rainbow Glitter Star on Instagram.
I got Rainbow Glitter Star. I got it. It's mine.
Unbelievable.
Thanks.
I don't know how that happens.
How did it happen that I got it or that I thought of it?
No, you thought of it, but I thought like a million people had thought of that.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's just me. Rainbow Glitter Star.
That's the cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
You willed it to be.
I'm the OG Rainbow Glitter Star.
Yes, there's only one Rainbow Glitter
there's
Star.
There's only...
She's right here, and she's Renee Watt. And then there's only one Jill Love Revolution.
That's right.
It's been so much fun. Everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
We love you, Mark.